My conscience hath a thousand several tongues, and every tongue brings in a several tale, and every tale condemns me for a villain. I shall despair. There is no creature loves me. And if I die, no soul will pity me. And why should they, since that I myself find in myself no pity to myself? By the Apostle Paul, shadows tonight have struck more terror to the soul of Richard than can the substance of 10,000 soldiers. A king whose conscience is on fire, who wakes from a dream in a cold sweat, would rather take on 10,000 soldiers than have the pronouncement of guilt. A man who's in despair. No one loves me. If I die, no one's going to pity me. And why should they? I find no pity in myself. David, the king of Israel, has fallen from a great height to a great depth. Despite having many wives and concubines, he has taken Bathsheba. Granddaughter of Ahithophel, what are you doing, man? Not only so, Uriah, his most trusted warrior, has been killed by his order. And the consequences of his sin now don't just press it on his conscience, but display in everyday reality. His family in chaos, his court in chaos, his nation in chaos, civil war. He's in the depths of despair, cast out of his kingdom, cast out of the palace, away from home, away from family, and he cries because he's overwhelmed. What do you do when you're overwhelmed? Psalm 61 was written after the death of Absalom. He cried last week, "Oh, Absalom, my son, would I had died." Now this psalm, what do you do when you're overwhelmed? Number one, cry. Number two, plead. Number three, dwell. And number four, sing. Number one, cry. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I call to you when my heart is faint, when my heart is overwhelmed. Hear me, Lord. Listen to me, Lord. Attend to me, Lord. I'm at my wit's end and I'm at my world's end. The commentators tell us that this is no ordinary cry. It is a piercing cry. It is a ringing cry. It is a shriek. A scream. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. It's as if he's at the end of the earth. Actually, he's only a few miles. But he's away from the palace and away from Jerusalem and away from the tabernacle and away from earthly comfort. And he could be a million miles away. He's at his wit's end. He's at his world's end. And this piercing screech can be heard. It is a cry of desolation. It is a cry of desperation. It is a cry of devastation. What do you do when you're overwhelmed? You cry. You see, you can be at your wit's end. You can be at your world's end. You can feel the loneliest person on the planet. But you're never at prayer's end. You see, David has already cried, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions." He's already cried, "Out of the depths have I cried unto you, O Lord. Hear me, hear me. If you should mark iniquity, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with God." When a man or a woman has a broken and a contrite heart, though the whole world forsake him, though the whole world reject her, God hears our cry. Number two, what you do when you're overwhelmed, you plead. "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy." Here is David pleading. "I'm drowning here. I'm sinking. Huge billows are crashing over me. There is a rock coming out of this raging sea. But I can't get there, and I can't get on that rock. You must lead me to the rock. It's higher than me. You, and you alone, must be my refuge and strong tower against the enemy." I love the hymn of William Cushing. He seemed to sum it up perfectly. "Oh, safe to the rock that is higher than I, my soul in its conflicts and sorrows would fly. So sinful, so weary, thine, thine would I be. Thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. How oft in the conflict, when pressed by the foe, I have fled to my refuge and breathed out my woe. How often when trials like sea billows roll, have I hidden in thee, O thou rock of my soul. Hiding in thee, hiding in thee, thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. Lead me to that rock which is higher than I." The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians, made it plain who that rock of ages is. It is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. When you are overwhelmed and everyone else has forsaken you, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the friend of sinners, the one whose blood can make the foulest clean, you can fly to him. You can plead with him. "Lead me. Take me. I'm helpless and hopeless. I cannot save myself. There's nothing I can do. You must do it. Please, will you do so? Be my refuge. Be my strong tower." Number three, what to do when you are overwhelmed? Dwell. "Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings." Selah, that means stop and pause and think about it. "Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You've given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Prolong the life of the king. May his years endure to all generations. May be enthroned forever before God. Appoint steadfast love and faithfulness to watch over him. Dwell. You see, he's away from the tent of meeting, away from the tabernacle, away from the Ark of the Covenant, away from the cherubim covering the mercy seat. When the priest has presented the sacrifice, where the law is laid up in the Ark, he's away from it, where the light of the Spirit's candlestick is shining, where manna abides, where the glory of the Lord is above the mercy seat. I want to dwell there. I want you to put under me under those wings of those cherubim. I want you to take me under your arm. I want to dwell and abide and live in that place of mercy. Look at me. There may well come a day in your life when everybody runs from you, when nobody wants to talk to you. There may come a day in your life when you're so riddled with guilt and shame that you say, I need a place of mercy. Let me dwell in your tent. Let me abide under your wings. I want to live there. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. Look what happens when you're dwelling. You hear my vows. You give me a heritage. You prolong my life. I will endure for all generations. The king will be enthroned forever. Do you understand what's happening? David is looking down the corridors of time. Somehow, some way, because of God's mercy, there will be a son of David. There will be a throne of David. There will be the sure mercies of David. Because God is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Number four, what to do when you're overwhelmed? Sing. So will I ever sing praises to your name as I perform my vows day after day. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, there is no physician like Jesus. There's no tonic like his promise. No wine like his love. No power like his touch. No fragrance like his forgiveness. When you know you're forgiven, you sing. This is what Henry Jowett said. There is no human wreckage lying in the sludge of the deepest and dirtiest sea of iniquity that God's deeper love cannot reach and redeem. This is a mystery. David and Bathsheba have a child. The child dies. They have another child. The child lives. His name is Solomon. And written into the tapestry of the line and lineage of Jesus of Nazareth, the Savior of sinners, the King of the Jews, and the King of Kings, is David and Solomon. And it's pointed in Matthew's Gospel, the wife of Uriah, how staggering is the mercy and grace of God. I am so glad that God is not like even the best of Christians. Aren't you? There was an old lady who had simple and sincere faith. She was dying. The liberal priest in the community came to her house. "Madam," he said, "I have come to give you absolution." "What's that?" said the lady. "Absolution. I have come to give you forgiveness. I have come to make sure that you go to heaven." The old lady, in her simple faith, as she lay dying, said, "Sir, would you show me your hand?" "You may leave. You are an imposter." "An imposter?" "The man who forgives sins and takes me to heaven has nails, nail prints in his hands." Did you notice our reading? Would you go to it as we close this mini-series? Just 14 weeks of extracts. Here is the Apostle Paul. Paul and Barnabas are in Antioch, in Pisidia. They're rehearsing the history of Israel. This is what they say. "Look, I have found," verse 22 of chapter 13 of the Acts of the Apostles, "in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart who will do all my will." "Paul, haven't you heard what's happened? Didn't you read the whole story?" And then by the time we get down to verse 36, "For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid with his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up did not see corruption. Let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. And by him, everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses." It's amazing. That's the New Testament verdict of this Old Testament saint. He served the purpose of God in his generation. Listen. I say this tenderly. There are people who put on their Sunday best and look ever so upright, who go right through their whole life and never serve the purpose of God. This man who fell served the purpose of God by the grace and mercy of God. That's the gospel. That's something to sing about. my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. Many of the songs you sing from the Hebrew hymn book came from that man. Let's stand and sing.